the next item on. We'll do introductions real quick, and I'll just say your first name and introduce yourself, please. And I'm just going to go by the order of what's on my screen. I know it's probably different on your screens. Patrick?
Pat Carney, Town of Manchester, Water and Sewer, representing municipal water systems.
And Virginia?
Virginia DeLima, formerly of U.S. Geological Survey, representing science.
Okay, Karen?
Karen Bernaska, Water Projects Coordinator for Save the Sound, and I represent the Watershed Land.
All right, Christine?
Christine O'Neill, MVCOG Environmental Planner.
Martha?
Martha Smith, West River Watershed Association in New Haven, and I'm an alternate for Rivers and Watersheds.
Thanks, Fred. You're on mute, Fred.
Okay, how's that?
Better.
Okay, 5 years of engineering school, I just figured it out. Rick Klein, an attorney with Pullman and Comley on behalf of the energy industry.
All right, Iris.
Iris Kaminsky, I'm a board member for the Environmental Advisory Council for the City of New Haven, and I'm also representing the public.
Super. Allie?
Yeah, I'm with the Public Utility Regulatory Authority. Oh, sorry.
Aaron Buddhist from Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments, representing Connecticut Councils of Government.
John Hudak.
John Hudak, South Central Connecticut Regional Water Authority, representing regional water companies.
Brenda?
Brenda Watson, Operation Fuel, representing consumers / the public, I think.
All right, Jonathan?
Yeah, Jonathan Avery for Hazardville and Jewett City Water, representing small investor-owned water utilities.
Allie Hibbard?
Allie Hibbard, Department of Energy and Environmental Protection.
All right, Margaret?
Margaret Minor, Rivers Alliance, and with Karen Bernoska, co-chair of the Watershed Lands Group.
And Bruce?
And Bruce Wickson of the Office of Policy and Management.
Calvin Green, I think you already did introduce yourself, but go ahead.
Yeah, Calvin Green, Internet West Cog, just listening out on the call for myself.
All right, Gannon?
Sorry, I'm Gannon Long. I'm here to listen. I'm with the Policy and Public Affairs Director with Operation Fuel.
All right, Tom.
Tom Tyler, Metropolitan District. I'm the wastewater rep.
All right, and I should have started with Alicia, but sorry about that.
Okay, Alicia Sharmat. I represent fisheries as a representative of the Fisheries Advisory Council.
Okay, I'm Josh Gansler. I work for Southeastern Connecticut Water Authority representing small utilities. And I thought you had a furniture delivery.
I'm waiting to hear the truck pull in. So.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on to approval of the minutes for the April 20th meeting, which Bruce sent out last week. And do I have a motion to approve those meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, any comments, discussion? All right, we'll vote on the minutes. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Are there any nays? Are there any abstentions?
I'll abstain.
Okay, John Hudak abstaining. Okay, so the minutes are approved. And Dan Lawrence, I noticed you're on. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sorry, Josh. I just got can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you.
It's been a kind of a crazy day, but Dan Lawrence, Aquarian Water, representing the large privates. So.
Okay, so we'll move on to
Denise just came on too.
Oh, did you? Okay, Denise, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Denise Savage. I'm with the Connecticut Association of Conservation Districts.
Okay, thanks. So we'll move on to the Water Planning Council updates. And I don't know that I have too much from last month's meeting. It was a fairly short meeting. Or actually, I should say the meeting earlier this month was, three weeks ago now. There was some discussion of the Operation Fuel presentation. Brenda, did you want to add anything to that?
No, actually the most recent update is that DSS has been identified as the agency that will receive those funds when they come down from the federal government. I'm not sure what that dollar amount is, and I'm not sure what the DSS process will be in ensuring that those payments get to the utility companies on behalf of their struggling customers.
Okay.
Since a lot of folks weren't at the Water Planning Council meeting, Brenda, can you just give an overview of what these funds are? And also remind us what DSS stands for. There are some
I apologize. I should know better. So the LIHWAP program, which is the Low Income Water Assistance Program, is a temporary authorization that will come from the federal government via Health and Human Services in the same way that the Energy Assistance Program is administered, also known as LIHEAP. Congress appropriated $638 million for this temporary authorization for water, utilities, and wastewater assistance. The legislation provides emergency assistance to low-income households that pay a high proportion of their income for waste and wastewater services. So the most recent update is the Department of Social Services here in Connecticut will receive those funds. Again, not sure how the federal government has divided that $638 million across the 50 states. So at this point, it's just a waiting game, waiting to see what the Department of Social Services will, if they will make an announcement soon about that program and how it will work. It's very likely going to go through the community action agencies. There are 9 nonprofit community action agencies across the state. They actually administer the energy assistance program on behalf of the Department of Social Services. So it's very likely that they will be the same source for this water assistance program. Again, I'm not sure how they're going to go about it, if they're going to request that customers go to their local community action agency and apply. I'm not sure if there's been any communication to the larger water companies as well as some of the smaller ones across the state who may need these resources to help their customers. Again, at this point, it's just a waiting game. And once I hear the most recent update, I'll send out an email to everyone. Well, I'll send it out to Bruce with the hopes that he gets it out to the member.
Okay. For those who missed it, Brenda gave an excellent presentation on Operation Fuel at the WPC. And I don't remember, were we going to make that presentation available through some avenue?
It was made available shortly after that meeting, but I'm happy to send it out again to Bruce so that he can get it out to members here.
Okay, I think that would be good. So everybody in our in the advisory group can look at it as well.
There's a link on the Water Planning Council website. So I put that link in the chat.
Okay, super. Was there any other updates from the WPC, Alicia, that you can remember? before we move on to the implementation work group?
I think that anything else that this group needs to talk about, I think, was probably talked about in the implementation work group report. So.
Okay. Virginia, did you want to give us an update on the IWG?
Sure. Following the agenda as it came out from Bruce, the follow-up on the Alliance for Water Efficiency work, as you know, their work has been completed, and we shared with you the products that had resulted from that. I do want to say that the rates model that they put together is something that's available to any water company. And I would encourage those of you who are in the water industry to reach out to some of your colleagues and invite them to take advantage of that. And also to, Marianne said that she would make staff available to assist people in applying that model. I haven't talked to her in the last couple of weeks, but since the implementation work group meeting, the only water company that has reached out and wants further input from the Alliance for Water Efficiency is the Regional Water Authority, who was, as you may remember, the subject of the example that they gave. But I think it's a great opportunity for water companies to take advantage, not only of the rate model itself, but of the assistance that she has offered in terms of implementing that. So, as I said, I would encourage you to, if your own company is not interested, talk it up in whatever organizations that you have so that people can take advantage of that. One of our concerns was that we do a workshop like that. This is something that Margaret brought up. We do a workshop like that, and then it just sort of goes thud, you know, the workshop equivalent of putting the report on the shelf. And we certainly don't want that to happen because some of that information is very useful. In terms of our topical subgroups, the group focusing on water quality and private wells are finalizing their results and finalizing their recommendations, I should say. As we've mentioned many times, the recommendations are that arsenic and uranium be included in the mandatory analytes that get looked at with new construction of wells. And then they're also recommending that all of the analytes, the existing ones, as well as the arsenic and uranium, that be looked at with every real estate transaction. So their report mentions those two and then gives justification for why they are making those recommendations. Their report also includes draft language to put in legislation to affect those changes. So, assuming that the Water Planning Council wants to move forward with these recommendations, they've made it easy to actually do it by providing draft language. So they're wrapping up their report very soon. The Steve Rupar, who's heading up the group looking at the drought plan, at our last implementation work group meeting, gave a high-level walkthrough of what they were going to be proposing. They are working on finalizing the edits to their recommendations. They met, was it yesterday, Denise? And they're also meeting later on this week to finalize that and get it through, get that report to us for our review. And basically, they acknowledge that some of their recommendations have already been adopted in full or in part by the group that was working on the drought this past summer. The outreach and education group is discussing developing official disclaimer for anybody doing a presentation to the public that they're not representing the Water Planning Council. Those of you who were at the Water Planning Council meeting may recall that there was some concern that if questions came up at these meetings that were answered by the individuals who were doing the presentation, that they might not be accurately representing the views of the Water Planning Council. And so they're just going to make sure that that's understood, that the people are speaking from their own experience and are not speaking for the Water Planning Council. Their work plan has been updated, and as of our last meeting, they said excuse me, that would be shared with us when it was completed. And I don't know if they have made more progress on that since the last meeting. As I've mentioned before, the implementation tracking work group has been identified as something that is extremely important, but it's currently on hold because some of the agency folks who would be intimately involved in that work group are busy with the legislature. So that's on hold until things ease up a little bit at the Capitol. And that's pretty much it. Any questions?
I'm going back to your discussion on the rates model from the AWE presentation.
Right.
Wasn't there some discussion of sending out a survey at the WPC? I know it was discussed. I don't know what the final decision was.
Well, it didn't happen immediately after the workshop itself. And the fact that they have used all the funding that was available to them, I don't think it will happen.
Okay. All right.
And just as an aside, all the material that was made available to the participants is available to anybody. You did not have to have been a participant to have access to that material, and it's all on their website.
Okay. Anything more for the implementation work group? Any questions? All right. Moving on. Any discussion on other state water plan matters that anyone has? All right.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. I actually just finished up with the delivery people. I apologize. But, Virginia, we had talked about a survey, and I'm wondering how we want to proceed with that. I know Gannon has generously offered to help us out with it. So I'm wondering, how we can come up with a plan to put together a survey for a post workshop from the Alliance for Water Efficiency.
What would you see as the focus of that? Just their response to the workshop, or would it be broader, or how do you see that?
So I see it being a, just to kind of gauge the participants' feeling on the usefulness of the information they received from the workshop, and whether they will be utilizing those materials, and if not, why? I think those are questions that we need to understand, or we need to understand if they can't use these items that were presented as a tool, then, what's stopping them? Is there something we can do from a policy standpoint to make utilizing these tools easier?
Okay.
And
well, that, I mean, if this is something that we want to pursue, as I mentioned a few moments ago, I guess before you got back, the Alliance isn't going to pursue them themselves because they've, their contract is over. I'm sure, I think just out of courtesy, I would ask Marianne if she had any objection to us doing that. I'm very certain she would not have any objection to it, but I would like to do that out of courtesy. And if Gannon or other people in this group want to take on that task, I'd say, sure, let's do it. So if there were a couple of folks who would volunteer to participate in that, we could get that kind of feedback. And John, if you or John Hudak, if you or somebody on your staff was willing to participate in that group since you've gone through the process, I think that input would be very valuable.
We could do that.
So Gannon, you would be willing to, I'd need guidance from the water experts in the group, but would be glad to contribute time. Yeah. Okay, so if we put together a group to do that, are there other volunteers who would participate? We've got John, we've got Gannon, anybody else who would be willing to participate in designing such a survey?
I would.
Okay. Well, I will follow up with with Mary Ann and get back to you all via email. And if there are other people who want to participate, please let me know, and we can set up just a group that might meet just, you know, two or three times maximum, so it's not going to be a huge time commitment, and see if we can do something. Thank you.
Okay, anything else on that subject? Alicia, did you have anything you wanted to add on the state water plan? I know you came in, you missed most of that.
That's it.
All right, moving on to old business. Water-related legislation update. Does someone want to take the lead on that discussion? I missed the last CWWA Legislative Affairs Committee, so I'm not up to where I should be on that one. Okay. I do know that just looking back at the notes from that meeting, HB 6615 will affect the water utilities. Obviously, we've been paying close attention to that bill. And that's the bill that requires utilities to provide alternative water supplies in the event of a main break, loss of system pressure, or another event of more than 8 hours. And also has other requirements. And my understanding is that one is waiting action by the House. Did anybody want to comment on that bill? And then also another one affecting a lot of us is HB 6443, an act concerning revenue items to implement the governor's budget. And that involves the safe water drinking fee provisions, which have been stripped out of the bill, from my understanding. It makes changes to how the safe water drinking fee is used and also eliminates the sunset provision. And again, that one is awaiting action by the House too. And any other legislation that anybody wants to discuss?
Josh, I also heard the bills concerning road salt and training, as well as the bill concerning solar and prime farmland soils. I don't know the numbers, but I heard they both died in committee.
They went back to the committee?
They died. They're dead.
Oh, they died. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Just quickly, the bill on the solar siting, I think, died in committee because they were expecting this committee that DEP is putting together on the integrated resource management plan is going to come out with recommendations. So they didn't want to have legislation coming out until that was completed. It was our understanding. But I will say that the Farmland Preservation Committee folks were very disappointed.
Okay.
I also heard just a little while ago that the municipal option, they're attempting to strip that from 6441, which was the governor's climate adaptation bill. This is you know, when we talk about climate change solutions, and we always hear that, you know, the state or the agencies don't have a way to implement these programs or the resources. But the fact is that a lot of these decisions are made at the municipal level. And for to be able to provide this, it's just an option to solve climate change issues around water. This would have been a good funding option for towns. And it's very disappointing that this, again, has been stripped out, even though it is just an option. Again, that's my personal opinion.
All right. Any other legislation anybody wants to discuss? I know they're going to be wrapping up here very rapidly.
Yeah, just quickly, House Bill 6496, that's a soil health bill, which is really critical for watersheds and clean water. went through the Environment Committee unanimously, went through Appropriations unanimously. We just need it called to the floor. Anyone who's interested in the Soil Health Bill, if you would just call leadership in the Environment Committee and ask them to make sure it gets put up for a vote. My understanding is they are going to be bringing all the environmental bills up for vote this week, all the ones that have passed committee. And if they don't get brought up, then they just die because they don't call them for a vote, for the vote to the full floor. So we're hoping that this will get brought up. We know there's going to be a lot of work on the bill Alicia just talked about, Bill 6441. There's a lot of momentum around that. And a lot of consternation now that they've stripped Section 4 out of that, which is the conveyance fee for open space preservation, which again is critical in terms of source water protection and what we need to do, because it provides the funding for municipalities to be able to do open space protection. So they've now stripped that from the bill, which I think is unfortunate. But so if you want to support Bill 6496, this is the soil health, and ask leadership and tell the environmental leadership that Section 4 should not be stripped from the bill. It's the environmental leadership that put forth the amendment 26441 that takes that out of the bill, and they were getting pressure from the real estate developers. And I think that that's a real problem that we need to, that this enabling legislation, it should be decided at the municipal level, whether the municipalities need it, not at the state level.
This is Margaret. I have one. It's 931, and it's DEEP's bill to acquire the authority to study and perhaps implement California emission standards on medium weight and heavyweight vehicles. And all that pollution that you notice it in the spring, the air is heavy, all the construction trucks are out, everybody's out, all that's going in the air and coming down in the water. So it's 931, and I think Save the Sound has been working on it pretty hard. And so if you have a moment to advocate for breathable air and cleaner water, that bill is high on my list.
I should mention that Bill 6441 also includes the Stormwater Authority, and that is still in there for municipalities to have a Stormwater Authority to be able to do water quality and stormwater and have it paid for. So that is still in there. So there's a lot of other sections of that bill that are important. This is also a bill and a piece in there to expand the authority of the flood and erosion control boards to be able to deal with climate change impacts, as well as funds for the Connecticut Green Bank to work on resiliency projects, which could include things working on, for example, source water protection, anything that's in our climate change adaptations, resiliency plan is something that could be funded through the Green Bank. So just to let you know that 6441 is the climate change adaptation bill. There's a lot of stuff in there about water, beyond just this conveyance thing that got pulled out at this point. So I just wanted to make sure people were aware of how important 6441 is for water quality.
Hey, Denise, what was the bill for soil health?
It's 6496.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments on those bills or any other bills? All right, we'll move along to the WIC update. Dan, would you like to give us a of that?
Yeah, so we had another, I call it regional WIC meeting. Got the date already, but the work groups, it was last week, I think, but the weeks
last have been by real.
What's that, Josh?
Last Wednesday.
Yeah, just the world is going so fast right now. We're just trying to keep up. So just to get an update from the various subcommittees, a little bit of work done, much like most volunteer groups. It's always a little bit of momentum issues, so we're going to work a little bit on that. I know the Central WIC is meeting on, I believe, the 15th, and the Western WIC's next meeting is on June 8th. So there's two upcoming meetings. I don't know when the Eastern WWC is meeting. So I think both, I know the Western WWC has received a few requests for new water systems, mostly very small, you know, non-community systems. So nothing of substance. And we continue to see, I think, which is interesting, those type of systems out in unassigned exclusive service areas. So the community that said that they didn't want to have things assigned, you're still seeing development of small water systems in those areas. So
I'd like to add to what Dan just said. The June 15th is also when this meeting is scheduled in June. So I see an overlap between the two, and if that something could be done, because we certainly want these Central WWC participants to be here too. So I just want to introduce that our next meeting is June 15th at 1:30, and I believe the Central WWC, Dan, that generally meets in the afternoon also. You're on mute, Dan.
Yeah, that generally meets in the afternoon. So I'm not quite sure. Usually it's a 1 or 2 o'clock meeting, but I have to look that up. The Western WWC meeting is a 10 a.m. meeting. But we can check that and get back to everybody. I don't know what we want to do. I know on my side, we're going to have people attend one and the other all at the same time, but as needed. But not everybody has that flexibility.
Okay. Jonathan, did you have an update on when the Eastern WWC is going to meet?
Not yet. We were highly encouraged to meet soon. So that is being a work in progress. And those of you know Mark Decker, he has retired. So we've lost a really good leader. And so I think he's retired from the industry. So we're looking to hopefully replace him. But we still have two co-chairs in the Eastern WWC.
Okay, and I'll just add, since I'm on the regionalization subgroup or subcommittee, that we are planning to meet in a couple of weeks and hopefully get moving a little faster than we have been. Anything else on the WWCs?
Not right now, Josh.
Okay. Next item is the interagency drought work group. And Bruce, do you have anything new on that?
Yeah, I am proud to say I unmuted before beginning to talk. And right now, the state is all shown as no drought, not abnormally dry, not stage one, whatever. Those of you paying attention, though, see that things are declining fairly rapidly. It's been fairly warm and fairly dry the last week or two, and that's slated to continue into the next week. This is the time of year when things change dramatically. So the group will meet again the first week, I assume it is, of June, and we'll see how things stand then.
Okay.
So I put a link into the chat for Rivers Alliance's Know Your Flow. We've been watching carefully, and continue to be very concerned about stream flow, especially around this time of year where things should be fairly, you know, at least close to normal. But even with the precipitation we got this winter, the slowly melting snowpack, which I was really optimistic about, I remain very concerned going into this summer. I know we're going to start pushing out conservation tips because hopefully maybe we can curb the high water usage that we saw across the state through COVID, through the early season last year. But I think getting the word out to folks for a heads up might be a good idea moving forward to those groups who feel that they have the reach to do that.
I want to agree with Alicia, and I just posted the USGS stream gauge map for Connecticut, and things have changed. There were two major storms at the beginning of May, and we haven't seen anything since. So that obviously influenced the the drought work group and their meeting on the 5th, which I appreciate. But if you look at the USGS gauges and the link I just put, you will see a lot of red and orange dots on that map, which means that we've got really low base flows in all of those streams. So I do think we need to be particularly concerned about that.
Any other thoughts on the interagency drought work group or the drought in general?
So just the one last thought, and we've been talking about this, although it probably won't be necessarily addressed in the drought report, but as we were going through and looking at this, we started talking about this idea that we were having a lot of like fall, winter droughts that then kind of resolved themselves a lot of times in December, January. But we did have one again last year, and this is where all of a sudden now, okay, it seems to resolve itself. Levels in reservoirs seem to be okay going into the spring, but now when we have all of a sudden drought again, that's why I think we're seeing these low base flows in the stream so quickly. It's because, you know, we had low flows in the fall and whatever, and when we've had our bad droughts, in, for example, 2016, 2017, a lot of times if we can look what happened in the fall before and then how that impacts where we are in the spring. So even if precipitation may not seem like it's that bad, it's this long-term precipitation, not the 3 months, but again, looking at what's happened over the year, and particularly if we didn't get a lot of good precipitation in the fall. So I'm just putting that out there. Is it something we've been talking about and how we incorporate that? And I know Virginia probably has some thoughts on this, but it definitely is reflected in the stream flow, and you can kind of see that. And I know it's one of the things when I was, on the water supply team for Greenwich that I really watched very carefully about, where my flows were in the fall and how I was going into the spring and, were they really resolved? And a lot of times I could tell that, I'd get a storm event, the hydrograph goes up, but then almost immediately I'm down below base flow, what the average base flow was for the stream. And, I think you're starting to see that. So I'm just putting that out there that it's something we need to pay attention to, even though we don't necessarily have the recommendations on exactly what to do with that knowledge right now.
All right, Margaret, I think you had a comment.
Yes, we're having, most of you know that the Chepauk River stream flow was the subject of litigation, and there's a management plan with the city of Waterbury, which Waterbury has more or less kept up with. Needed an exemption briefly in 2016. It's checked once a year by the Chepauk River Association, which is primarily Edwin Matthews, who spearheaded the litigation. But the river has been running low, and other advocates in Washington, Connecticut, have started to look at and speak in selectmen's meetings, and I have today's paper to look at. And they're looking at Waterbury's unaccounted water, or they may use a slightly different term, which is up around 30%, I think. And they're wondering, our river needs more. Can't we do something about that? And it's an interesting question. I hope to follow up with some of the advocates. But that, that's an issue, I think, for our group or for the Water Planning Council, is that wastewater, it's water that's not in the stream. And I don't know if we'll be able to work out anything with Waterbury or even where we'll start, but it's an issue here with the low flow in the river, and it's chronically low flow being tied. Now they're looking at it and saying, couldn't we get more water if they didn't have all that unaccounted water that is just going somewhere?
Okay, thanks. We'll move on to the advisory group work groups. We'll start with an update on the watershed lands group and the final draft report. Karen, did you want to say anything?
Well, I think we've gone past the final draft report, and I believe, Alicia, you have put on under 5B that you were going to put together some recommendations on the solar siting and a work plan. I have not seen that, and I don't know if that's gone out to the group. But
there was a link in the agenda.
Oh, there was.
There was a link to it, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It was posted on Friday and went around with the agenda. So if you see something written in blue,
that's a link.
That's a link. And that's we're reducing the number of attachments that go out to people. So there's a link on the website.
Okay. So that item is coming up. And I'm going to turn it over to Margaret in a minute. We are the Watershed Lands Work Group, and Margaret and I are continuing to look at the process of the conveyance of state land to municipalities, and the concern with lack of information available to the public and even to some legislators. And I have to give Margaret credit again for being dogged in contacting various individuals. And so, Margaret, would you like to add anything on to this conveyance issue?
We continue to contact various individuals with limited results, but our latest move was we sent to the GAE committee, and they are really handling the government administration and elections is really handling non-deep land. It's like DOT land mainly. It can be some hospital land. And we took that occasion, Karen and I, to write a letter pointing out concerns that we had with the information that was lacking from almost really from all the items. And sometimes it's as simple as like, what did the public pay for this, and are they getting anything back? You know, really, there's some basics that aren't even in land conservation. I think we're going to. And we submitted some testimony on individual items. Again, just saying there isn't enough information here for the public or anyone else to know exactly what's happening, unless you happen to be one of the negotiators on behalf of the town or the developer. So I believe we will be following up with the GAE committee. I think we have a 2 feet in the door this time, and simply pursuing the same request that you all helped us put together, you all put together a year or so ago, which is identify if this is a source water land that you're giving away. Use a map. We are still working on trying to persuade legislators to have at least adequate water resource information in front of them when they vote on a conveyance. I have some other ideas. Well, I think that will be, if we can finally this year, and perhaps with the help of the Water Planning Council, which says that they are interested in this, we really must try to reform the conveyance bill. It is opaque. The money is unclear. But aside from that, projects are defined simply as economic development, municipal uses, housing. that's all you get to know about what's going to happen to the land. So we still have a lot of work to do, and it's frustrating that we've made so little progress, because we should have straightened this out last year, and it's going to be this year. But I'm pretty confident we will get our feet in the door and get some kind of improvement in the questionnaire and the information that's available to the public.
All right. Alicia, did you want to add anything on the source water protection outline? Alicia's still here.
All right. I was just looking at something, but So thank you, John Hudak. You get extra points for sending in such great edits for the source water protection outline. So where we're going to go from here is incorporate the edits that we've received from John and Dave Murphy. And I'm going to put together a Google document that we're going to send around for people to sign up to take parts of this to write. Denise and I will get together because I think, Denise, we might be able to assign some agency folks to some of these pieces because they know it best, or at least nicely or maybe voluntold or nicely ask. So we will send around that Google. It will be sort of a sign-up sheet for folks to look at and decide if you know that subject very well to volunteer to draft a piece of it. And then we will bring that back to the advisory group for more edits. And once we've gone through a couple of drafts and have a final draft, we can send it up to the Water Planning Council. And then we will have our white paper if they don't have any changes. Does that sound like a good plan forward, Denise?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
And thank you, John.
Alicia.
Yes.
Alicia, there's also a Connecticut Section Source Water Protection Committee. I think they meet pretty regularly, and so they may be of help in this effort as well.
I was going to send around that Google sheet to them as well, because okay. I know there are folks outside of this group that have the expertise to help us out to put this together, for sure. Thank you.
Hey, Alicia. Alicia, this is Lori. Sure. I'm just wondering if you're okay with it, if you could share it with me.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And we did run that by, you know, Eric McPhee, and he's going to be, you know, part of this as well. So just wanted to, that we did reach out to that section of the Department of Public Health working on the Source Water Collaborative and all the source water stuff. So.
Yeah, before the outline went out to the advisory, it was passed by a couple of agency folks.
Can I ask, is this an all right time if I ask a question about this?
Sure.
I was looking through that, and thanks for providing the meeting materials. I was looking through, and I'm wondering, because I got an email, I know there's a siting council, and I know DEEP has a 20x20 and a sort of permitting concierge office that they work with different, you know, solar developers or other energy, you know, producers to go through the permitting process. And I saw in the document, there's this tension between wanting to protect, you know, watersheds and deeply forested areas, as well as wanting to develop solar projects, both of those important priorities for the state. And so I'm wondering if there's, I don't know if there's anybody from DEEP who's on this call, but I'm wondering if there's any connection between folks that are concerned with that tension and the issues described in the draft that are also involved in DEEP's, I think they have like a new advisory group for that concierge, but sort of how to connect those conversations about where these different energy sources are being sited and how to protect water through that process. And if nobody from this group or the planning council is in that other concierge siting advisory group, that would be an opportunity I would encourage to get folks having that same conversation. But I don't know if there's somebody from DEEP here or if anybody else knows about if other people know what I'm referring to with their 20x20 and their concierge permitting process.
So thanks, that's a good segue into our next agenda item. And so DEEP is in the process of forming a stakeholder group to look at the solar permitting process from soup to nuts, right? From the selection process all the way through council. And so that's why we're putting this together, is to come up with sort of a policy stance and a unified, what do we want from this, from in order to protect our water going into this process. So it's sort of a DEEP-wide, and hopefully that'll also get incorporated into their other programs within DEEP, because it is supposed to be a broader stakeholder group to look at solar siting in general. And hopefully, has anybody, Allie, have you heard any rumors about when that process is going to start? I heard it was soon, months ago.
If I had the answer, I would share it.
I know you would.
But no, it's still kind of ominous.
I would say not until after June 9th, which is when the general session ends, because everybody's just, you know, they've got so many climate change bills. That's where everybody's attention is right now.
Yeah, you're probably right, Denise. And that's coming up a lot sooner than I'm ready to admit. So I want to ask if anybody has a reaction. This, what I've put together here was what was in the report that the Watershed Lands Group had put together, just simplified. And there are some things here that we do need to flesh out a little bit, so that we have this information ready when the stakeholder group comes together, or at least we're working on some of these things. And I'm just wondering, any general impressions, any issues with some of the recommendations and considerations that are in here? Anything that you think is missing? Fred, where are you? I know you want to say something. Is Fred gone?
Still here.
Ah, there's Fred.
Fred's taking it all in.
Okay.
I don't really have much to add right now. So,
okay. So I think what we want to do for, especially for some of the information needs, we should put a small group together to try to put some of this information together. Would anyone be willing to work offline and put some of these things together to put into sort of a more fuller, fuller sort of information packet and policy stance for us to put together for the Water Planning Council?
Well, I would be helpful if needed.
Thank you, Margaret.
Alicia, I can work on that because I'm also helping with working in natural lands, looking at the farmland piece of it. So kind of ties together. Even though I know this one's focused on water, but it's part of that same mindset.
Thanks. Gannon, I see your in the chat. I will include.
Just thanks. Let me know what you're working on, Alicia. I'll help you out.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Anyone else? Fred? No? Okay.
At this point, you know, I would like to see what the group comes up with, but my schedule is not allowing me to get involved, heavily involved in things, and I don't want to hold things up.
Sure. So do you want me to just include you in the emails as we're working through things?
That would be very much appreciated. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, will do. Anyone else? All right, looks like we got a good group put together here. I will send out an email to the four of you, and we can start looking at everything that we need and deciding how we want to put that together and if there's anyone else we need to bring into it for as a resource. Great.
All right. Any more comments on the work groups? Discussion? If not, we'll move on to new business. Does anyone have new business?
I think I had public comment, not new business. This is Margaret.
Okay. Let's move on to public comment then.
Okay. This is a follow-up on the Aquarion hearing on the proposed diversion. There's a tentative permit from its Bridgeport system to its Greenwich system. A lot of controversy, a lot of, you know, fair amount of newspaper press coverage. A bit of a close call. It wasn't as if the permit, at least as I saw it, wasn't all good or all bad. The the issue that really caught my attention was that starting almost a year ago, people in Fairfield County who are fairly well up on civic affairs would say, knew nothing about this and didn't know what questions to ask. And I would say, well, you know, a lot of this is planned out in like WIC plans. And they said, well, what are WIC plans? And how can we get to know them? And that's not very encouraging. I don't think many people got involved in WIC plans, but there was even a Tony Wong put together a panel to discuss the proposed diversion. And I would say that Tony and other legislators also are playing catch up on the water planning, the water planning that goes on in the state. It's really, I don't think, clear to people. A man named Peter McGinnis wrote an interesting op-ed down in the Connecticut Post that Karen found for me. And he was looking at the diversion in terms of how would it relate to plans for housing. And this did zero in on how good are the demand projections, which are a very soft spot or pivotal spot in water planning. It's somewhat of a guess, I think, often. He himself had come upon WIC plans, and he was trying to figure out what it meant and how they worked with other plans. And, I tried to explain the planning process to people. We have the WIC plans, and we have the water supply plans, and we have the state water plan, and we have OPM's plan, and we have Department of Public Health rules, and much of which, and then we have drought plans, which are a little easier to understand. We have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars putting together plans in the last 20 years. And the public, I'm not sure that we're getting the result in terms of public understanding and flexibility when issues come up, such as the, by the way, Aquarion is one of the more progressive, forward-looking water companies and makes probably, I think, above average effort to communicate with the public and to explain. But it isn't quite working at a state basis. When something comes up, like as the Chicago River case is coming up here, there is no particular plan to turn to. And I noticed that at the last Water Planning Council meeting, Laurie Matthew, I don't know, Laurie on the phone said, what is Connecticut's water policy or drinking water policy? Where is it written? and that is a revealing question, given the amount of planning and effort and time and money we have put into policy thought at work. I think my question at the end of it, well, who's in charge? We have all these plans from different perspectives dealing with different aspects done by different people. We don't, back in when the Water Planning Council was starting up, we used to talk about a water czar or a water center, or we would cite the states in which the governor had taken the lead in initiating water policy. And of course, in the Western states, it's such a crisis, they need to have someone in charge. We don't want to wait till that point. So I just wanted to express my frustration at trying to explain to people that there is a water planning process, but they're never going to understand it. You know, they are not going to go to WIC meetings. I cannot show them easily online. Here's the plan for your watershed. This is what's coming up. And the plans are not consistent. The demand projections in the WIC plans go out 5 years. They say almost every water company gave very good data and demand projections with the qualification that they might be different, the situation might change in 5 years. Other projections go out 20 years, other, granted, somewhat hypothetical, go out 50 years. But it's confusing. The plans are not consistent. There isn't a concise statement. And basically, we have like an army of talented people that isn't marching in the, on the same paths or in the same direction. So that concerns me after all these times and all the time we all have put into this. And I'm hoping that we could get a better focus and have more implementation. The last thing I'll say is that Kurt Westfall, when he worked on the state water plan, he told me he had never worked in a state that had so many plans. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting because I can't keep up with them. And theoretically, they're all supposed to be consistent. Well, obviously, they're can't be. They're way too many. But the OPM plan, presumably in the old days, was the governing plan. But that's gone by the wayside. So I don't exactly know where we are, but I think we're spinning our wheels at a time when we really want to get some traction and be sure we're moving in the right direction. That was my speech.
Well, thanks. Anyone else have anything they want to add?
Well, just to Margaret said, who's in charge or who's leading? Well, my understanding is that DEEP is expected to be overseeing permits. And that if somebody's going to be providing water, especially potable water, to a party, that DEEP would be the governing source of whether the party has a permit, whoever's providing those permits has viable permits. And if they don't have enough water, then they need to get permission to get additional water to the parties involved. So I would think that you're looking for, Margaret, who the governing party is. The DEEP has been put in that position by the state to govern permits. So I would think they would be the governing party.
So I think that, you know, most of us that work on water are all very aware of that because we've been through adjudication processes with DEEP. And the point being here is that if someone sees a flaw, right? So the state has this plan. They say in order to have water for fish and faucet for 50 years, in the state water plan, it says we should be doing it this way. And the WOOP plan might even agree. And yet when you go through that adjudications process on something like a diversion permit, DEP is looking at just that one thing through a little microscope, right? And they're saying, none of these other things have anything to do with this permit. We can't look at that. We can't look at how conservation, how this one municipality is using more water than anywhere else in the state. We're not going to look at that. We're just going to look at this one little thing. And it's that way with a lot of permitting. And this isn't, I'm not bashing DEP for this, but when you go through the adjudications process, when the public wants to speak up about these things, that's what happens. I've seen it through several, and not just diversion permit, other kinds of permits. So we're not looking at things as a whole when we're going through this process. We're looking at this one little thing. And you can't look at when you go through that process, you really aren't allowed to look at everything as a whole. And I think that's what Margaret's getting at, right? So, you know, everybody's saying we should do X, Y, and Z. And when you're only looking at X and you can't look at Y and Z, how are we going to get to where we want to be eventually? And it's, again, it's not just this one recent issue with the pipeline permit. It's a lot of things that I've seen recently going on with how we're managing our water and how we're making those decisions.
Okay.
Every case that I look at, I see this problem. DEEP may be in charge of the actual permit, but DPH is in charge of the planning that leads to the request for the permit. We also have PURA involved. We have a Water Planning Council that could be, in theory, the lead to reconcile these plans and to be sure the public understands the planning. I think I've mentioned before, but when I was in Costa Rica a few years ago, they had a drought. Government people came to our province and they sat down with a lot of people. All the stakeholders, half the community, it was front page newspaper news, and they worked out a plan that everybody understood. The water was allocated, and it was satisfactory. I mean, the drought may take over the whole world. Compare that to what we do here. People, as I say, legislators, people that are well connected in the community, they are not sure what's happening with their water, what they could do to protect stream flow, what they can do to protect their wealth, their well yields. And because they're about four different agencies they could turn to, and assuming they're interested in their bills as well. So we have always thought our water policy needed more integration. And I just think it's becoming increasingly apparent that we're still fragmented and unable to bring a coherent planning process and decision-making process to given problems.
Okay. Any other comments on that subject or any other subjects? Any other public comment? Alicia, anything I missed?
No, I think you got everything.
All right.
Hey, Josh, this is Dan. I just want to let anybody know, anybody looking for information on our diversion permit application, all the 118 or 20 questions that people ask and answer the application, all is up on our website. Everything you'd want to know, whether you can comprehend it all because it's enormous, but anybody wants to see something, it's there. So.
Super. All right. If there's not any other comments.
Well, I do just want to add, Dan, you guys did a great job in outreach. And I don't want you to feel like this was an attack on how you guys carried this out. It wasn't. It's trying to understand how are we prioritizing things with all of these plans, especially with water.
I completely understand. Okay. I understand the question. I think Margaret made one. I mean, we did meet with Fairfield's conservation agent before he left, so it was kind of a transitional point. So a lot of things going on, but yeah, I mean, I don't disagree that with Margaret's assertion of, you know, who's in charge and how does this work. I mean, right now, water companies are responsible to do water supply planning for their systems, and we try to look at it as geographically as possible, but that and take into account as many things as possible, but. I think to get a coherent plan, and Margaret, you and I have had this conversation on all the different plans.
Yep.
There's a lot of things to go in. I mean, I don't know where the central point is when you start talking about all those things. I think the WIC plan, the state water plan, is at least closer than some things, but it's not necessarily driving decision-making, right? I mean, right now, conservation is a huge discussion point. And can we actually get that to be legislated? You know, 2 day a week irrigation or something like that, but it does impact municipalities the way they do their rate making, right? So how do you get that done? There's some really important topics that I think if we can converge some things together, that would actually work where we're trying to go. So
that would be good.
Yeah.
And I do have some good news. Rivers Alliance just got funding for our Know Your H2O podcast from the Eastern Connecticut Community Foundation. So we'll be starting up a podcast where one of the elements will be sort of a water management 101, where we just break down and talk to people about how we manage water in Connecticut. So coming soon.
Huh. Congratulations.
It's an AP course.
All right. So our next meeting is only 3 weeks from now, 15th. And the next Water Planning Council meeting is a week from today. And 2 weeks from today is the next IWG meeting. So unless anyone has one last comment, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thanks.
Good seeing everyone.
Thank you.
Maybe in person someday.
Someday.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.